Ours to Protect, a climate and environmental program on WLR with Clodagh Walsh.
That storm was, to me, the first real warning. That's 10 years ago. This is different. This is something different. And that, to me, was not the first wake-up call, but certainly a very serious wake-up call.
Hello, and welcome to Ours to Protect, our weekly look at sustainability, biodiversity and climate change. And that was Ray Sinnott you just heard there, the estate manager at Mount Congreve. And he was speaking about a particular storm that whipped through the gardens and caused untold damage. I was out at Mount Congreve recently and speaking to Ray, and I first asked him what changes, if any, he has seen in the gardens that could be put down to climate change.
The storms have gotten shorter but more severe, and everybody's aware of that. We're all kind of like anecdotally aware of things that have changed in the weather, but we're very, very conscious of it, very aware of what has happened. Flowers that bloom twice a year, plants that come out way earlier than they should have, the likes of our magnolias, which are a precocious flower which comes out before the leaves, they're out far too early. The camellias are coming out in October and November when they shouldn't really start in December and January. You got your snowdrops, your crocuses. I mean, for any of us that are working with the ground, working with the earth, it's an obvious and constant reminder that things really, really are changing, and rapidly.
For an estate like this, how do you manage that? Because you don't want to mess with nature, but you want to maintain its sustainability.
Well, exactly. And we try to avoid the human error of arrogance where we think we can control it. We cannot control it. All we can do is go along with it and try and do what's best with it. Nature will take its own course, and I'm very much a believer in that. And regardless, I know we have started to do things to benefit that. And in particular, you will hear that from the younger generation. My 12-year-old daughter is my biggest consultant on climate change. She knows more about it than any of the rest of us, or any of us in the family do, because they are very, very aware of it. And for us here with the gardens, what we're aware of is, like I mentioned, the irrigation. We've moved to battery power where possible. We've always been composting things here. The world has caught up with that as far as we're concerned. We use the compost. We would mulch up any of the older pieces that come off in places and in times, and we do get people asking us about that. We let the weeds grow, we let the weeds take over, and then we generate them back into the ground again. I'd rather do that than use pesticides and herbicides all over. So we've completely cut out our use of pesticides, and we have reduced in an enormous way the use of herbicides. Now, that may upset some people when they want to come in and see a pristine garden. The only way to get an absolutely pristine garden is to have massive amounts of labour, which nobody can afford, or use massive amounts of herbicide, which all our gardeners will refuse to do. We're fully trained in the use of chemicals when we do have to use them. But it's only as an absolute necessity that we would use them.
A hidden piece of the development at Mount Congreve Gardens, a key success, is how Ray describes the integrated wetlands, and he explains their function.
People are not aware of it, or they don't know that it's there, or that there was an enormous amount of work went in to get it just right. That all the wastewater that comes from the cafe is treated by nature and returns to nature just as it had turned up here in the first place, without any real intervention other than the reed bed systems that we put in place. It was an enormous undertaking. And the trees that are planted around that, there are 500 trees and about 1,200 whips and sallies that are planted in there. They're all native species. So anywhere we replace things here, we try and stick to the native species. We put in a huge amount of oak, larch, alder. Anywhere we can, we do.
The work started by the late Ambrose Congreve over 40 years ago continues up to the present. The house and gardens were bequeathed to the state, and we are extraordinarily lucky to have one of the great gardens of the world on our doorstep. The collection is still expanding, with sustainability at its core. Ray Sinnott again.
Sustainability and pristine don't mix. They really don't. But that doesn't stop us trying to achieve that. And also, there are ways to avoid trying to get perfection in a garden with perfect pathways. And I think what's great about this green agenda, for want of a better description, everybody's aware of that now. Everybody's aware that there's going to be a tree that doesn't look perfect, or there's going to be weeds on the ground, or leaves that should have been swept up that have not been swept up. They'll get blown in at some stage. And I think that's what's so great about the current agenda, that people are learning to take care of themselves, of course, and their people, but also the land that we live in, the farm to fork, the recycle, all of those things add up. And everyone, you'd often hear, well, there's no point in me doing it. What difference will I make? Everybody doing a little bit makes a huge difference.
And that's all for this week. My thanks to State Manager at Mount Congreve, Ray Sinnott, for his time. But please join me again next week for another Hours to Protect. Until then, bye-bye.
Hours to Protect, brought to you by WLR, the IBI, and funded by Comisión na Mban with a television licence fee. Check out hourstoprotect.ie and WLRFM.com for more info.